Welcome to Blakey Psychotherapy. We're glad you're here. Thinking about therapy and talking to a therapist requires courage. You've taken the first step.
Becoming a wild human. Who doesn't love wild fairy tales? These stories have been a mainstay of children's bedtime routines, introducing us to mythic characters while teaching us life lessons from the safety of our pillows. Think about the grandfather and grandson from The Princess Bride. There's something about hearing the words, "once upon a time," that makes us settle into our seats and listen. Once upon a time, a human was born into a good family. The parents looked forward to the birth of their child, and they planned to do all they could to raise her to the best of their abilities. That child would be protected from harm, sheltered from sadness, and provided with everything that she needed. The small human thrived in this stable environment, and as children do, started to become curious about the world outside their family unit. When they were 3 years old, they wanted to climb at the slide at the park. "Oh no, you may fall and be hurt," said one parent, and so the child reluctantly left the slide and sat on the bench beside their parent. Once this small human started school, she wanted to walk down the street to visit her friend. "Oh no, you may not make it there safely. Besides, how will I know that you arrived?" says the other parent. And so the child was accompanied to their friend's house by a parent with strict instructions not to walk home on their own. And as the child grew, they continued to be cosseted and protected by their parents. While they loved them, they felt trapped. They knew there was a bigger world beyond their parents, and they wanted to explore. Unfortunately, they were unable to fight against the cocoon woven by their family. Every time they struggled, their family was there to provide solutions, money, contacts, things. And eventually, not trusting their own abilities, they stopped struggling and stayed in their safe world, taken care of for the rest of their days. Let's try a different story. This story is attributed to Henry Miller, the writer, about a little boy in India who went up to a guru who was sitting and looking at something in his hand. The little boy went up and looked at it. He didn't quite understand what it was, so he asked the guru, "What is that?" "It's a cocoon," said the guru. "Inside the cocoon is a butterfly. Soon the cocoon is going to split, and the butterfly will come out." "Could I have it?" asked the little boy. "Yes," said the guru, "but you must promise me that when the cocoon splits and the butterfly starts to come out and is beating its wings to get out of the cocoon, you won't help it. It's important not to help the butterfly by breaking the cocoon apart. It must do it on its own." The little boy promised, took the cocoon, and went home. He sat and watched it. He saw it begin to vibrate and move and quiver, and finally the cocoon split in half. Inside was a beautiful, damp butterfly frantically beating its wings against the cocoon, trying to get out, not seeming to be able to do it. The little boy desperately wanted to help. Finally, he gave in and pushed the two halves of the cocoon apart. The butterfly sprang out, but as soon as it got out, it fell to the ground and was dead. The little boy picked up the dead butterfly and in tears went back to the guru and showed him. "Little boy," asked the guru, "you pushed the cocoon open, didn't you?" "Yes," the little boy said, "I did." The guru spoke to him gravely. "You don't understand. You didn't understand what you were doing. When the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, the only way he can strengthen his wings is by beating them against the cocoon. He beats it against the cocoon so his muscles grow strong. When you helped it, you prevented it from developing the muscles it would need to survive." Each of these tales is a cautionary tale about what happens when life is made too easy for us and we don't have the opportunity to gain strength and wisdom by learning lessons through adversity. Neither the parents nor the boy were bad people, just overly protective of who and what they loved. All were unaware of the lessons to be learned at each stage of development. Recently, I was given the book Women Who Run with the Wolves, Myths and Stories of the Wild Woman Archetype by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, PhD. I had read and lost this book many years ago and was thrilled to have it come back into my life. It's one of those classics that shares new wisdom at each reading and at each life stage. In her book, Estes analyzes myths, fairy tales, folk tales, and stories from different cultures to uncover the wild woman archetype of the feminine psyche. Note, the author is talking about an archetype as defined by the Jungian psychology, which applies to all genders. What does it mean to be wild? The author equates being wild with moving from society's strict rules of conduct, i.e. being nice, to being able to live authentically from a place of wisdom. Wild isn't always nice. How do we get there? The main premise of the book is that there are a set of skills that must be learned in order to become wild. Being wild takes courage, as well as the ability to have patience when sitting with discomfort. Each chapter, story, of the book outlines a particular skill that must be mastered in order to progress throughout life. These skills include living with the loss of innocence, making the end of childhood, developing the ability to discern one thing from another, developing and trusting our intuition, recognizing our family and not just necessarily the people we're related to biologically, being able to judge who will be a good romantic partner, and knowing it when it is time for things to die, like relationships. Why is wild important? Besides being a Jungian analyst in Kentadora, a storyteller, Estes also studies wolves. She marries her vision of a wild human to the idea of a wolf, able to take care of itself, form strong relationships with others, the ability to discern what is healthy for itself and the pack, basically an innate level of confidence in its abilities to thrive, even when things get tough. Being in touch with the wild part of our nature stops us from being used by others because we were able to smell out when something isn't quite right. When wild, we don't put up with things that are harmful to us in order not to make waves. Wild humans don't care about others. Being in touch with the wild part of our nature stops us from being used by others because we were able to smell out something that isn't quite right. When wild, we don't put up with things that are harmful to us in order not to make waves. Wild humans care about others and can be fiercely loyal to their tribes, while at the same time knowing when it's time to let go of people, places, things, or ideas. I think of wild humans as being sure-footed. As illustrated by the stories above, when we don't develop this side of ourselves, we don't live our fullest lives. In a worst-case scenario, we can become prey for others because we don't have fully developed senses to rout out the danger. So here's to being wild. Not in a you better have bail money kind of way, but by being able to confidently stand on our own 2 feet and smell which way the wind is blowing. Stay safe, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening. The Blakey Psychotherapy Podcast is produced and recorded by Anita Woodard from Woodard Administration. Please subscribe and tell a friend about the podcast. For more information or to connect, our website is www.laurieblakey.com. Thank you and take care of your mental health.